Jaroslav Hašek is known the world over for his epic satirical novel, The Good Soldier Švejk. It tells of the adventures of a Czech soldier in the Austro-Hungarian army during World War I, drawing richly from the author's own experiences. But Hašek was also a prolific writer of short stories. Even though he died before his 40th birthday, he produced nearly 1,500 stories, and we can now enjoy a selection of these in English in a new translation by Mark Corner. David Vaughan reports.
Jaroslav Hašek had an adventurous life. As a young man before World War I, he worked as a journalist, moving in Czech anarchist and bohemian circles. So it is no surprise that when he set up his own political party in 1911, parodying the political scene of the time, he chose to do so in a pub. When the war broke out, he volunteered for the Austro-Hungarian army, but in 1916 he deserted to fight in the Czechoslovak legions. Then came the Russian Revolution, and Hašek joined the Red Army, spending 4 years in Russia before eventually finding his way back to Prague in 1920. He died just 3 years later. During all his adventures, Hašek never stopped writing, with sharp satirical humour and crossing the borders between journalism, memoir and fiction. The Carolinum Press has put together a cross-section of his short stories, which have now been translated by Mark Corner. I asked Mark to tell me more about the collection, which goes under the title Behind the Lines.
What I liked about the collection that is there is that they all present a world which is rent apart by conflict, by revolution, by war. You've got the revolution in Russia. You've got the civil war following the revolution in Russia. You've got the First World War, which has just ended. Travel is chaotic. Boundaries are constantly being redrawn. Hierarchies are being replaced. That happens in the Bogulma stories, of course. One minute, Švejk is in charge. The next minute, it's Gašek and so on and so forth.
And perhaps at this point I should interrupt you to say that Bogulma is a town in Russia, in Tatarstan, in fact, where Hašek did actually find himself, because after the Russian Revolution he went to Russia and he joined the Red Army. He became a convinced Bolshevik, and he actually, as a Red Army officer, he found himself in the town of Bogulma as deputy commandant of this town. And at that time he was, like so many people, excited about the Russian Revolution.
That's right. I mean, he did embrace the cause to some extent, but he also found the violence, often very arbitrary violence, on both sides of the Russian Civil War something intolerable. And I essentially think of him as a traveller in a disordered universe, where there aren't the boundaries that normally exist, whether in terms of human behavior or simply the physical boundaries between nations. I mean, there's even the story about how he met the author of his own obituary, as if even sort of death itself was a boundary, that he was able to come back from the other side and chastise the author of a mean obituary.
So if you could now read us a short extract from that story.
I found the author of my obituary in one of Prague's wine bars on the stroke of midnight, the hour when it shuts its doors in accordance with some imperial ruling dating from the 18th of April, 1856. His eyes were fixed on the ceiling. The tables were being relieved of their stained tablecloths. I sat down at his and said in an affable way, "Permit me to ask whether this seat is free." He went on scrutinizing some unrecognizable mark on the ceiling, which seemed to have captured his interest, before replying in a reasonable enough way, "It is, but the place is about to close. I doubt whether they'll serve you." I took hold of his arm, and he turned to face me. He spent a while observing me without a word. Finally, he said in a quiet voice, "Excuse me, but haven't you been in Russia?" I laughed. "You recognize me, then? I was killed in a low Russian dive, brawling with some rough, drunken sailors. The colour went out of him. You are... It's you? Exactly right, I said emphatically. I was killed by sailors in a tavern in Odessa, and in the light of my death, you wrote my obituary. Words came in the form of a faintly audible gasp. You've read what I wrote about you? Naturally. It's a very interesting obituary, apart from one or two little misunderstandings, and unusually long into the bargain. Even His Imperial Highness received fewer lines upon his royal decease. Your magazine devoted 152 lines to him and 186 to myself. At 35 hellers a line, how miserable a pittance they used to give journalists. That makes 55 crowns and 15 hellers in all. What exactly do you want from me? He asked in panic. Do you want those 55 crowns and 15 hellers? Keep your money, I replied. The dead do not demand a fee for their obituaries.
This is really nice writing, and also with that wonderful Hašek black humour. It must have also been good fun translating it too.
It is a great deal of fun, and I'm very fortunate because all the translations I've done for the Carolinum have been perhaps not exactly comedies, but have all had a comic element. And I've asked for that because I think it's something I do better than I would do other forms of writing. And this is very much in line with that.
We spoke a little while ago about Hašek's experiences in Bugulma in Russia. Let's now hear a little bit from one of the Bugulma stories.
This is where there's a certain misunderstanding on the part of some nuns who are being dragooned into providing... They don't quite understand what services they're being dragooned into providing. They've been asked to help the Petersburg Cavalry Regiment, and in fact all they have to do is clean out the barracks. But they think that they're being asked to provide other services. When the procession arrives in front of my official residence, I go out solemnly and ask the abbess to accept bread and salt as proof that I hold no hostile intent. In addition, I invite the Orthodox clergy to take a slice of bread. One by one, they come to kiss the icon. Men and women of the Orthodox Church, I begin with solemnity, I would like to thank you for a splendid and unusually eye-catching procession of the cross. I saw it today for the first time in my life, and it has left an impression which will last until my death. Seeing this chanting crowd of nuns here, I am reminded of those early Christian processions in the time of Emperor Nero. I take it that some of you have read Quo Vadis. In any case, men and women of orthodoxy, I do not wish to try your patience any further. I asked for only 50 nuns, but now I see that the whole convent is here, which should enable us to get everything over and done with more quickly. I would therefore ask the maidens from the nunnery to follow me to the barracks. The crowd stand bareheaded before me and sing in response, The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. The abbess steps forward in front of me. Her aged chin trembles as she asked me, In the name of the Lord God of hosts, what are we going to do there? Do not plunge your soul into ruin. Hosts of orthodoxy, I shout to the crowd. There are floors to be scrubbed, and a barracks to be made clean, so that the Petersburg Cavalry Regiment can be quartered there. Now let's get on with it. The crowd follow in my wake, and by evening, with such a workforce of willing hands, the barracks are in perfect order. In the evening, a comely young nun brings me a small icon and a note from the aged abbess, containing the simplest of sentences, I am praying for you. Now I sleep in peace, because I know that to this day, among the old oak forests of Bugulma, there is a convent of the Most Holy Mother of God, where an old abbess lives and prays for a sinner like me who is nothing worth.
These stories are very firmly placed historically in the time of the Russian Revolution, the Russian Civil War, the collapse of the Austro-Hungarian Empire, the beginnings of Czechoslovakia. It's all a long way away for us today. Do you think that the stories are dated?
I have a colleague in the university where I teach in Brussels who always says to me, if you want a new idea, read an old book. I think there's more that's new and more that provokes thought in something written 100 years ago than something written 100 hours ago, which may, for various reasons, be saying things that you feel you know already. I think Hašek is still very relevant, and the sense of, say, being a traveller in a disordered universe actually does bear some parallels with the modern day and coping in a completely different way with a sort of globalised world. There are similar ways in which one can feel discomforted by the loss of clear forms of identification that used to exist.
Let's hear a third extract. This time it's from a story that describes the departure of the Czechs who have been fighting in the Russian Civil War. They're going back home via Estonia, via Tallinn, by boat.
The Cyprus signals to the line of little steamboats supervising harbour traffic that we are on our way, and a reply is signalled back. Your passage is clear. With the steam turbines sending us on our way, with a whistle, we say farewell to the banks of Estonia, enveloped in a rolling mist, as if they wanted to say, there's no point in looking behind you. You've lived through nothing with us that's worth looking back on.
So that is Hašek coming back home. That was in 1920, in fact, that he returned home. And in 1921, the first serialized parts of his classic novel, The Good Soldier Schweik, appeared. And then just 2 years later, in 1923, he died when he was still under 40. Mark, I always look forward to your translations of lesser-known Czech classics. What should we look forward to next?
Next is going to be a difficult one. It's Ladislav Fuchs, and a novel published in 1970, which in English would be Natalia Mooshaber's Mice. It's a little bit grotesque gothic horror story, but it's a grotesque gothic horror story set in a dream world of science fiction, with people driving in horse carts and having weddings in rural inns, but at the same time, subways and satellite airports, and there's a colony on the moon. It's a bizarre book, but I'm rather taken with it.
So once again, that's Natalia Mooshaber's Mice by Ladislav Fuchs, which I look forward to reading in your translation. Mark Korner, thank you very much indeed for talking to us at Radio Prague.
Thank you very much indeed for having me.